Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
2:07 on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Thank you very much for tuning into the Scoot Show on the Big 870 WWL. Scoot is taking tomorrow off. He's taking today off. He will be back, of course, on Monday, and I'll be back on the other side of the glass in the bridge, helm, the jar.
Well, I have a few more suggestions.
Please.
All right, one caller said the hornet's nest.
The hornet's, that's...
Because there's always something buzzing.
Ooh, it's buzzing. I like that. Okay.
All right, this is mine, the telemarketer's magnet. Because I have to deal with a bunch of telemarketers.
A place of business, man. Take me off the list.
Someone suggested the watchtower.
Ooh, that sounds kind of spooky.
And during your interview with the last guest, somebody called and said we should call it the septic tank because we're full.
That's very funny. Yeah, I get it. All right, well, we'll start test driving some of those. I don't know. I kind of want it to be like one syllable, like the bridge or the nest or the whatever.
Okay, that's you know what? That's very economic.
Yeah, right. See, because it's got to be. It can't be something we get tripped up on every day. And all of this is just in place until that room gets its own sponsorship deal like this room has. Like, we're in the Jefferson Financial Credit Union studios here, but I don't know, maybe we could be like the Melba's Po' Boys control room or
something. So, let me ask you this. If we remove this wall, will we get a sponsor? Like, will we be part of that sponsorship, or does it still stand? Like, if I cross over, then all of a sudden I'm in a sponsored room.
Hey, man. I think I don't work in the sales department, and there's probably a reason for that, but I think they would probably tell me, why sell one room when you could sell two, right?
Smart.
Thanks, Coleman. You're great. Let's get to some phone calls. Kathy in La Place is here. Kathy, good afternoon, ma'am.
I heard something yesterday, and I actually fact-checked it. Okay, so all these children got killed, right? So
in Nashville, yeah.
Why is all these Republicans walking around with these AKA pendants on their lapels? You would think they would take them off, being that all these little children and all these adults have been killed.
Yeah, well, I think
that makes me really, really sick to my stomach, because I didn't believe it. And I went and I looked it up, and it was several of them. That green lady, the Bogart lady, was several of them walking around with these metal pendants on their lapels, on their dresses of AKAs, when all these people have just been killed. That's why we need to vote these people out of office, because they do not care about our children.
Kathy, I guess I would submit, first of all, just the two people that you named by name there, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, are not very serious legislators, right? Scoot will often say they're not lawmakers, they're noisemakers. So they're kind of there for the clout and not necessarily. Yeah, it's all about symbology for them, ma'am. It's like they're just trying to claw back whatever credibility they can with their base voters. And they're trying to get on TV, and they're trying to get retweets on Twitter. And if some of that means, hey, I'm just going to do something outrageous that's gonna make liberals mad, then they'll do that.
It wasn't just the two ladies. It was several of the GOP. It was several of them. Those I named two. It was way more than that.
I believe
and
you.
I'm
now,
just,
I can't.
It made me want to throw up. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much for calling in. I guess I would say, you know, if people want to wear, a pendant that's a, an AR-15, which is, you know, a very, very popular rifle, not just for mass shootings, but for, you know, target practice and self-defense and other sorts of things like that. If lawmakers feel like they need to wear that to stand out as somebody who says, I will defend the Second Amendment at any cost, you know, I guess we can grant them that right. I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with that. I would ask that maybe they take that pendant off and just like put it in their pocket for 72 hours after a couple 9-year-olds are gunned down at a school. Like, that's just bad optics. And I know Congress critters often don't really care about optics in the same way that some of the rest of us might. But I think there's a way for you to show that you're a strong advocate for the Second Amendment and you'll stand up for the Second Amendment. Nobody's coming to grab my AR-15. Like, you could do that, but then you could also not be a jerk about it and be walking around Capitol Hill and going on cable news at night wearing that, knowing that we are a nation in mourning. And we still are. I think every time that there's a mass shooting now, the period of grief, where we're all sort of coming together to feel sad about the lives of the people who the people that we lost, that period just gets shorter and shorter. And I think I even detected it this week, you know, that the sort of grace period where we weren't just sort of gnashing our teeth about grabbing guns or you're not going to grab my guns or that the period, that grace period is just getting shorter and shorter over time. And that, I feel a little bit badly about that. Let's go to Harold. Harold, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to say about gun control, If not one person, but three people had to sign to buy a gun and answer questions like, are you seeing a doctor for your head problems?
Yeah.
Have you just had a divorce? Did you just lose your job? And everybody who signs that paper is in trouble if the guy goes out and kills somebody and they lied.
Mm-hmm.
That guy who shot the kids up in Maine, I guarantee you his mother wouldn't have been able to buy that gun. And that girl who just killed those people, she may not have been able to buy those guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my brother who shot and killed himself,
Harold,
wouldn't have been able to buy that gun either.
I'm really sorry for your loss, sir. That's bad news. I'm terribly sorry. What a way to go.
But,
good Lord.
You know, that's not banning any guns. That's just, you know, how many of these people have a problem and go out and buy a gun and kill somebody? And then it comes out that they had a problem and everybody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't have gotten 2 signatures to help him buy a gun.
I don't hate it, Harold. I would think that many people, even strong Second Amendment people who are, you know, enthusiastic about collecting guns and shooting guns and don't want liberals to come take their guns away, I would hope that reasonable people in that crowd would be able to take a suggestion like that and say, you know, maybe that is something we can do. Maybe that is a small compromise that we are willing to make. That's a pretty far cry from like, we're going to prohibit 300 million Americans from ever buying a gun, or they can only buy this type of gun. You know, I think these like little incremental changes that we can make will make a difference down the line. And I know not every, you know, we might not have stopped the shooting in Nashville or Colorado Springs or San Bernardino or God, wherever, there's a billion of them, with what Harold just suggested. But if we can stop one, or it can stop two, for something as simple as like, hey, I think, you know, you should be able to prove that you're not, you know, mentally unstable before you buy a gun. Like, these are just common sense reforms. If you poll Americans about this sort of common sense, incremental, not that onerous change to gun law, you'll find that many of them support it. But their legislators won't. And we just kind of get stuck on stuck. There was a really interesting sort of feature in the Washington Post that came out about why AR-15s are so much more deadly than other sorts of guns. And that sort of got me thinking. I've never been a huge gun grabber guy. It's just not the kind of issue that gets me up in the morning. I think gun control is important. I think there should be some sorts of restrictions on the types of guns that certain people can buy. I don't think that that should be controversial. But, you know, so, okay, let's say if we just zapped all the AR-15s in the country, just turned them into fairy dust right now, and nobody ever got to have an AR-15 again, would there still be mass shootings? Yeah, absolutely. But if I shoot you five times with a 9mm, you might survive if you get medical attention quickly enough and depending on how bad a shot I am. But if I shoot you five times with an AR-15, you're extremely less likely to survive those sorts of wounds. Let's go to Brian in Mid-City. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Ian. It's always a pleasure. As you know, I'm calling back now.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. You've been so patient with us all week, Brian. Go ahead. You're on the air, bud.
Okay. Now, the audience, some background for the benefit of the audience. Okay, I have mostly liberal beliefs. Among the only conservative beliefs I do have is I'm pretty solidly pro-gun. I'm solidly Bill of Rights for everybody, and I don't care who you are, what your gender is, what your race is. I think you're entitled to the entire Bill of Rights because it's not the buffet of rights, it's the Bill of Rights, you know. So anyway, I'm a Marine Corps veteran, and
thank you.
I work in television production in addition to driving Uber. And I've worked with several transgender individuals, most notably while working on Queer as Folk last season. And along with my wife, I play Fallout Online with a transgender Army veteran who is liberal and is into guns. So here I am establishing that, you know, millions of gun owners are not, if lawful gunners are not at fault for gun violence, and neither are video gamers, and neither is anyone from the LGBT community. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. So now, regarding the AR-15 in particular, there's like over 20 million of them lawfully owned in the country. There's hundreds of different manufacturers of the rifle because the copyright expired a long time ago. And there's a huge selection of rifles that could be used for whatever your purpose is. Now, the AR-15s I own, they're strictly what we call range toys. They go to the shooting range. One in particular is engineered for service rifle competition, the CMP matches, which is a very challenging match.
Okay.
And you know, you were right on the money when you said that if all the AR-15s vanished into fairy dust, that some other rifle would be used, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, quite frankly, tactically speaking, okay, as I've been told by people I know that, yes, I have the mind of a tactician, which did make me very compatible with the Marine Corps when I was in. You don't really need a tremendous tactical advantage with a rifle if the people you're targeting are unarmed and unable to fight back, as evidenced, for example, by the Virginia Tech shooter used a Glock 19 9mm handgun and a Walther 22 caliber target pistol to do what he did at Virginia Tech. And Mark Essex, in the early 70s, used a three-shot semi-automatic hunting rifle that was made by Ruger. And he carried enough ammunition to keep top the three-shot tube, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, it was limited to three shots because that's all you're allowed to have for deer hunting is three shots. Okay. But he killed 24 people and wounded a bunch more. And police, at one point, the NOPD was shooting at him, and he was still able to do this with this three-shot hunting rifle in the early 70s.
Right.
So, I mean, the solutions to this problem are just so much more deeper than controlling who can buy firearms or who can buy what firearm. It's just a lot more complex than that.
Totally. Brian, I would agree. And I guess, so let's just make sure, because I you seem like pretty knowledgeable about this sort of thing, and I maybe am not. I think we all understand there's not like one thing. It's probably not two things or three things that are going to start to bend down the curve in terms of the number of mass shootings we see in this country. It's going to be like 100 things. It's going to be 100 small, inoffensive, incremental, uncumbersome changes – that in sum might sort of get us to where we want to go in terms of reducing the amount of gun deaths in this country, right?
Well, yes, and there's, let's see, I'm trying to remember the name of the publication. It's a liberal publication named Mother Jones,
probably.
Mother Jones, okay. Mm-hmm. One of the editors for that, and I'm sorry, I don't recall his name, one of the editors for that actually came
David
up with
Korn.
A system. Yes, with a system for identifying children who are prone to do this type of thing. And, you know, working with them. And there have been a few individuals that he's worked with in this system who did not go on to committing acts of violence, unfortunately.
Right.
I believe one of them did. So, you know, there are liberals who do have viable, you know, socially based solutions to this issue that don't involve gun control.
Word. Okay, Brian, I got to pause you there, man, but I have sure enjoyed speaking with you today. Great comments, and thank you very much. Brian, for those of you who don't know, which is nobody besides me, Brian called us a couple times this week and was on hold for a long time, but we just ran out of time to talk to him. So I'm glad we got him on today. When I come back, we're going to talk to State Representative Mandy Landry from the Fightin' 91st about her bill, which she has pre-filed, which would allow us to pass legislation with only a simple up or down vote statewide. Does that sound like something you're into? We'll talk to her about it when we come back. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. You can join me on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. We'll be right back with Mandy Landry. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Ian Hoke on WWL. That poor little bill that's hoping to become a law won't have to go sit through committee and won't have to get kicked around on Capitol Hill in order to become a law. If Mandy Landry's House Bill 165 becomes codified law, the sponsor of that bill, Mandy Landry from the Fightin' 91st, is on the line. Good afternoon, Mandy.
Hey, Ian, I love that, the Fightin' 91st.
Yeah, I was like, why is that always in my mind when I think of the district? That's actually a Stephen Colbert joke when he used to do the Colbert Report back, like, before anybody knew who he was. And he would invite these Congress people on. He would say, you know, my guest right now is Jim Jimerson from Michigan's 5th District, the fighting 5th. And then poor Jim Jimerson would have no idea what was about to happen to him. And Colbert would just drag these people. And they thought it was like a serious interview. Anyway, so I just, well, I don't know. I always like to say it's the fighting district.
I also went to Notre Dame. So
hey,
there
cool.
you go.
There you go. Perfect. All right, Mandy. House Bill 165. What inspired you to introduce this bill? What are you hoping to achieve with this?
Mm-hmm. So this would create a ballot initiative process in Louisiana. About half of all states have something similar. And what it is if you gather a certain amount of signatures in a certain amount of time, voters can put an issue directly on the ballot, minimum wage, legalizing recreational weed, I mean, all kinds of things. And you put a high threshold so that, you know, there's a lot of effort in it. And just to make clear to listeners what my bill would do is my bill would actually put this issue on the ballot in October so voters can decide if they even want it.
Whoa, so we have a referendum so that we can have referendums?
Basically, yeah. They're called referendums, ballot initiatives. I think there's a few other terms, but it's essentially a form of direct democracy that has a pretty high threshold, but I think should be available to people in Louisiana.
Okay, great. So you mentioned about half the states have this. I think I looked last night. I think it's 26. So if we become the 25th, then it'll be 50-50. I don't totally understand why this isn't standard practice in every United State. Can you tell me what are the advantages and disadvantages of allowing citizens to pass laws through referendums? Why don't we all do this?
Right. So first, the reason we don't is every state has its own state constitution that's set up very differently. And the separation of powers is different. And in our state, only the legislature can create laws. So we would have to slightly amend our constitution to add a ballot initiative. You know, something like this has its pros and its cons. California has this, and most people think their threshold for votes is too low because they're able to pass stuff all the time, and it kind of creates a chaos in their laws. So I think if this is done right, you would only see something new passed every several years, maybe once or twice a decade, because it should be a very deliberate process if the people are going to go a little bit around the legislature.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the sort of chaos that they have in California, because it always comes up with like housing and taxes and zone, like single family zoning and stuff. They've got all these laws that were passed by referendum that are actually quite like deeply unpopular and don't serve the citizens of the state very well. And that gets me thinking about what you just mentioned of, you know, we have to kind of space these out maybe, for example.
Right.
You know, so what would be the process for amending or repealing laws that were passed through a referendum? For example, if we, legalize recreational marijuana through a statewide referendum, what's to stop the Louisiana Sheriff's Association from getting a referendum on the ballot next year to undo that? Won't we just be kind of trading back and forth all the time?
I mean, that's theoretically possible, but you'd want to set the threshold fairly high so that there's buy-in from around the state. And what happens in California, they have recalls all the time too. Their threshold is so low that if you gather a little bit amount of money, you can get this stuff passed. So, I mean, that's theoretically possible here, but more likely what would happen is if there was a referendum that was successful, you would have already had opposition in the process before it was passed. And we also, the legislature could set up sort of restrictions that say, okay, if a ballot initiative passes a new law, the state legislature can override that with, say, a 2/3 vote or an X amount of vote. You know, there's always ways to put it in. And as we saw with our recall process in New Orleans, the threshold was really high. So we would have to decide, do we want a threshold that high? Do we want a threshold 75% of that? These are all things that voters and legislators are going to weigh in on if we decide to move forward.
What's your gut tell you about what the right threshold is to pass a referendum? Would it be like, would it be something like 25% of the state's voters have to approve this, or would it be 25% of people that, or 50, or is it just as simple as an up or down vote? Like, okay, let's say, you know, 100,000 people vote, 100,000 people voted either yes or no on this. If a majority of them vote yes, the referendum is passed? Or I don't know. How does the math work? What do you think?
Yes. So typically what you would see is if the people had enough signatures, the issue would go on the ballot and it would pass like anything else with a 51% vote. The question is, how many signatures would you need to put something on the ballot? And that is something that if my bill passes in the fall, we would set up a pretty complex committee to look at how every state has done this, to find something kind of in the middle so that it's a doable number, but not so easy that you have a California situation.
And probably, I presume you'd have something in place to say that, oh, Barney Rubble and Mickey Mouse and Daffy Duck, want legalized marijuana. I mean, there's going to be sort of checks in place to protect the integrity of these referendums.
So the signatures are going to have to be as viewed as strictly as voting and as strictly as the signatures in the recall petition. I mean, we just saw in New Orleans how many got kicked out because it was Donald Duck, people who had moved. So it is a laborious process, which is why we have to do it properly. But so is voting. I mean, we have over 4 million people in the state and we don't have enough voter turnout. But, we have 64 parishes and all these localities. We have to be careful about voting as well. And I think the state has done a fairly decent job, although we got to clean up some of those voter rolls for sure.
For sure. I think we can all agree on that. Okay, Mandy, I'm curious to know, how does this impact the role of elected officials? Do you get the sense that the people you work with in Baton Rouge are going to want to share power with, the people in this way? Is this going to be a popular thing in Baton Rouge or no?
I think it might be some sort of strange bedfellows.
Great. Oh, I love those. Those are the best.
Yeah, I love those. I know. Like, I had bills a couple of years ago for term limits for other elected officials. The legislature has term limits, and term limits are typically popular among conservatives. But I agree that I think we need term limits because otherwise you have people in office for 40 years.
Yep.
And I picked up support amongst sort of true blue conservative Republicans. And I think a lot of my colleagues may have a hard time telling voters in an election year that they don't want to share a little bit of power with them. Because the fact is, voters know that it's really hard to affect things in the legislature. It's far from most of the state. People don't have money or time to really lobby their legislators as they might want to. And this gives them just a little twinge of getting their power back.
Do you see a future where this bill becomes law and we pass referendums to legalize recreational marijuana or raise the minimum wage or protect abortion care rights? And then the legislature turns around and says, no, we're not going to do that. That's a scenario that we've seen play out in some other states. I think Missouri chief among them, keeps passing these sort of progressive statewide referendums with broad support. I mean, an overwhelming majority of people voting in support of these initiatives. And then their state representatives turn around and they pull some sort of Lucy with the football thing. And they're like, oh, that thing that 80% of you voted for, we are not going to deliver for reasons X, Y, and Z. How do we protect ourselves against a situation like that?
Right. I mean, first of all, I think you need to have some sort of stopgap in the legislature, because there's always a theoretical possibility that people will pass something wild, like a minimum wage of $100 an hour. there's just things that, I mean, and I think that would pass here, to be honest. So there has to be some sort of stopgap in the legislature, and I think we can figure that out. But, the reason I'm kind of optimistic about this is Louisiana has a populist streak a mile wide. We really do. And I think that if this issue or some of these types of issues go on the ballot, I think the representatives will take a step back, because I know privately there are a lot of my colleagues who are a lot more moderate than they vote. And that comes from outside pressure from some of these interest groups. And so I think this would give them a little bit of, I don't want to say cover, but encouragement to vote a little more moderately.
Okay, so how can this process be used by like special interest groups or lobbyists, for better or for worse? I mean, I understand how Ian, you know, wants the minimum wage. So I'm going to try and get as many signatures as I can to get this on the ballot next fall. Mm-hmm. And then we're all going to vote for that. But could, like, you know, somebody from the oil and gas lobby, for example, you know, get together enough signatures, and they're very well resourced, right? So they could they could throw a lot of money at this and get a lot of signatures together very quickly that say, we're going to have no more regulations about pollutants or chemical spills or anything like that. And then that ends up on the ballot. And then perhaps there's, you know, a push to approve that. And maybe it, I mean, yeah, just a shorter way to ask this is, are there ways that the system can be abused by people who already have plenty of power in Baton Rouge and don't need this sort of shortcut where regular Joe and Jane, who are just going about their daily lives, this would be good for us. But the process could be abused by others who are in a more powerful position, right?
I mean, those groups already do abuse the process because they already do have a lot of money and say and everything. And sure, they could abuse this new process with their money, but they kind of already have it easy. I mean, it's a lot easier to influence 105 state representatives than it is to influence tens of thousands of voters. So, I mean, theoretically, they could do that. I think there would also be a step in the process at the beginning to make sure what to put on the ballot could actually be passed. I mean, there's things like what you just described could not be passed in full because there are federal laws regarding pollution, and we can't change those laws. So there would have to be some steps in the beginning to ensure that what is being put is even possible.
Mandy, I just got another minute here left. What else are you working on right now?
It is going to be a very busy session. The other bill I have that has gotten a fair amount of bipartisan attention is a tax credit for gun storage units. We have a horrible problem in New Orleans of guns being stolen from cars very easily and children having access to guns. And I wish I could do more than just a tax credit on a gun safe, but that seems to be a start at getting people aware that they can buy these items and that they are useful for preventing theft. And then my colleagues on the right like the idea because they and their constituents own a lot of firearms and they want to encourage them to have gun safes too. So it's not a very big bill, but it has gotten strong support across the aisle, and that's not that common in Louisiana.
I love it. I always say, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the done.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you think it's a small bill, do it, you know, and then after a few more terms, you look back and you're like, look at everything I've accomplished. That's great. Mandy Landry is my guest from the Fightin' 91st. Thank you so much for your time today, ma'am. Very nice speaking with you today, as always, and we'll look forward to doing it again in the future.
Appreciate it. I'll be back.
Adios, amiga. We'll be back with more of your calls and comments on the Oak Corner Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. I've got some texts lined up here I'm going to read when we come back. James in Metairie is on line one. We'll chat with him. And I've got a passage that I'd like to read you from Carl Sagan, from something he wrote in 1995 that I think is very thought-provoking, as long as we're talking about Fox News and media misinformation. Ian Hoken for Scoot. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to BRB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Great time to remind you, Duran Duran will be in concert at the Smoothie King Center on June 7th. You want to see him? Well, we got your tickets. It's real, real simple, y'all. You need to just log in and listen to WWL for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Duran Duran on their Future Pass tour. This is maybe the easiest possible contest to enter. I feel like I always try to drive the point home to you. Like, we're always giving away tickets and stuff that are very simple. It's really easy to win tickets from us. This might be the easiest possible way. All you have to do is listen and win. If you're accustomed to listening on your radio, well, just turn the radio off for a couple hours and listen through your computer, listen through the app on your phone. By doing so, every hour that you listen earns you another entry. You don't have to do anything else. The app, the website, know that you're listening, and every hour that you're listening to WWL, they put a ticket in the bucket for you, and then we'll have a drawing a little bit later, and the more you listen, the more chances you have to win. There's details at WWL.com. This is all courtesy, of course, of Live Nation and WWL. Duran Duran, listen and win. That concert's on June 7th. I got a text message here. This one says, you guys are always railing and criticizing Fox News. You damn sure do a great job of giving your liberal media friends CNN and MSNBC a golden ticket pass. They have put out their fair share of fake news stories, and you know it. I said earlier that it is completely possible, maybe even likely, that CNN and MSNBC have been lying to their audiences knowingly. And they're just telling their audiences the lies that they want to hear because they're afraid that they're going to go somewhere else. Maybe that's true. CNN and MSNBC and CBS and the Washington Post, NBC Universal, everybody might be doing that. When we have the emails that come out in a massive defamation case's discovery phase, we will talk about it. Until then, we're talking about Fox. And I know that that's not comfortable for everybody to hear about. And I'm sorry. I'm not here to make anybody uncomfortable necessarily. I'm here to bring light, not heat. But I'm going to point the spotlight at this often because I think it's important. And this text brings me to, I wanted to read this passage from Carl Sagan because I just think it's outstanding at how prescient it was when he wrote it in 1995. From Carl Sagan, I quote, I have a foreboding of an America in my children's or grandchildren's time when the United States is a service and information economy, when nearly all the manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. When the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority, when clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide, almost without noticing, back into superstition and darkness. The dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second sound bites, now down to 10 seconds or less. Lowest common denominator programming, credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition, but especially a celebration of ignorance. Carl Sagan wrote that just about 30 years ago. And so if you hear me talking about this enormously influential media that's delivering this lowest common denominator programming, that's lies. They don't even believe what they're telling you. They don't even believe the words that are coming out of their own mouth, but they expect you to. You got some introspection to do, friend. You have programmed yourself not to listen to anyone who's going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. To you, if it doesn't feel good, it cannot be true. And that makes you a perfect target for frauds and con men and scammers and grifters. And it has made you unable to learn, unable to listen, and unable to lead. It has rendered you helpless in your own quest for self-improvement. Ian Hoken for Scoot on WWL. We'll be right back. I think that weird cold spell is over now, and we might be getting closer to having actual spring. I think actual spring is pretty much here. Well, thank God. It's perfect baseball weather, and WWL is, of course, your home for LSU baseball. The Tigers are in SEC play tonight Every game counts big time. This week's big series is against the Tennessee Volunteers. They'll be playing at Alex Box Stadium tonight. Pregame is at 6:30. First pitch is at 7 p.m. right here on the Big 870 WWL, AM, FM, and .com. Game number two is tomorrow at 6. Game number three is Saturday at 1. We're going to carry each of those games in their entirety right here on the Blowtorch, the Big 870. If you like, you can always stream those games live on the free Odyssey app. When we come back after the news, I'm going to talk to a young person who goes to Ben Franklin High School about a walkout protest that they're organizing, which is going to take place tomorrow afternoon in protest of what they are calling horrifying anti-queer legislation in Baton Rouge. We'll have the details on that and more of your calls and texts on WWL. I'm Ian. BRB.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.